This episode of Beyond the Uniform is sponsored by Audible.com, which is offering a free audiobook of your choice to Beyond the Uniform listeners. If you go to beyondtheuniform.io/books, not only will you find a link to get your free audiobook, but you'll also find book recommendations I've had from every single listener on the show. There are so many resources there. And, you know, for myself, I listen to audiobooks when I'm driving, when I'm biking, indoors, not outdoors. When I'm doing my trainer indoors, it is a great way to use what's called net time, no extra time, to learn about something, to get inspired, and to improve your own knowledge database. So check that out at beyondtheuniform.io/books. We're grateful for their sponsorship. Welcome back to Beyond the Uniform. I'm Justin Asiri, and my goal is to help military veterans succeed in their civilian career. I do that by meeting with veterans and people who can help the veteran community to learn lessons about different career options and what it takes to succeed. Today's episode number 248 with Babette Maxwell.
Well, I think I found myself in the space the day my, my retired Army 06 father gave me a kiss on the cheek and handed me off to my soon-to-be Navy husband and said, "You're the Navy's problem now, sweetheart." So that was the day I found myself, right in the middle of military-spouse community.
Well, for longtime listeners, you know that the format is usually I meet with a veteran to learn about their civilian career, what they do, how they got there, and advice to others doing the same. My guest today, Babette, is not a military veteran, but as you'll learn, she is having a massive impact on the military community because for the last 18 years, she has spent her life supporting military spouses and military families. She describes herself as a fifth generation military dependent. Her father was in the military. Her husband was in the military for a full career. And she has been involved in a number of incredible organizations. She's worked with Mill Spouse Fest. That is Mill Spouse Fest, the premier military spouse networking and support conference. She is also the founder of the Military Spouse magazine, which she started all the way back in 2001, shortly after September 11th. In this interview, we talk about planning for downtime after one's transition from the military. We talk about the biggest challenges facing the military spouse community and more. As always, at beyondtheuniform.io, you will find show notes with links to everything we discuss. You will find a text transcript of this interview, thanks to Kathleen Dillon from the Beyond the Uniform team. You'll also find more information about Beyond the Uniform's coaching program, where you are connected with subsidized executive and career coaches to help you figure out your next career move and the best way to get there. So with that, let's dive in to my conversation with Babette. Joining me today in Spring Branch, Texas, is Babette Maxwell. Babette, welcome to Beyond the Uniform.
Hi, thanks for having me. How are you today?
Good, good. And I wanted to give listeners just a quick rundown on your background. Babette is the Vice President of Partnerships at Mill Spouse Fest, which is a property of Grid North. Mill Spouse Fest is a highly interactive, engaging, and resource-driven event that includes meals, drinks, raffle items, giveaways, and tons of community bonding opportunities. They are held all over the U.S. every year with curriculum that changes every year. Babette previously founded Military Spouse magazine in 2001, shortly after 9/11, and she has spent over 18 years in the military spouse and family affinity space. She is also a fifth-generation military dependent, and as you'll see in this interview, is deeply passionate about military spouses and family issues. So maybe to start things off, if you were to run into, let's say, someone in the military today, how would you explain to them what you do for a living?
Wow, that's such a great question. I would describe what I do currently at Mill Spouse Fest as building partnerships to put the best organizations, resources, and brands in front of as many military spouses as possible through one of the most creative and engaging live interactive experiences that I've ever been a part of in, almost two decades in the military spouse space.
That's awesome. And let's kind of rewind the clock because you are a mechanical engineer by training and one day you found Military Spouse magazine. How did that happen? How did you find yourself in this space?
Well, I think I found myself in the space the day my, you know, Army, my retired Army 06 father gave me a kiss on the cheek and handed me off to my soon-to-be Navy husband and said, "You're the Navy's problem now, sweetheart." So that was the day I found myself, you know, right in the middle of military spouse community. So in starting a magazine, coming back after an overseas deployment or a tour of duty in Japan, my husband was part of a forward deployed carrier unit there. So he was gone 27 of 36 months for our first duty assignment. And coming back from that shortly after was 9/11, which obviously changed the landscape of the entire military community. And realizing that there were very few resources in the space for modern military families. And my mother was a product of the Vietnam War. She was a Vietnam War bride. So I grew up hearing about 6 weeks to get a letter to and from. And so being able to communicate and to share stories and, you know, bond and learn from each other's experiences was something that was extremely difficult, even in 2001, when, believe it or not everybody had an email address back then. And for us, when we had our very first website, having a forum on there was like cutting edge technology. We didn't have, you know, rotators and anything that was dynamic on our website at all. Everything was very static and very limited in scope from what you see now that's available even in DIY setup. So being able to build something that, you know, was for all military spouses, not Army wives or Navy wives. It was for all military spouses, regardless of rank, gender, service affiliation. It was for everybody, realizing that the barriers that had been in place to, you know, kind of separate everybody, they were non-existent now. And we were able to, you know, grow so much faster as a community by being able to share experiences.
That's great. And it seems like that led you to, you know, then later on you became president of Military Spouse of the Year. What is Military Spouse of the Year?
So Military Spouse of the Year Awards is a program that I built when I was still at Military Spouse Magazine, but I had been acquired by a military publisher based out of Pittsburgh. And so I continued to work for them for over 9 years. And under that, built the Military Spouse of the Year Award program. That program is now currently a product of Armed Forces Insurance. They acquired the actual business line this year. So it's actually now the Armed Forces Insurance Military Spouse of the Year.
Awesome. And I gave a very brief description of Mill Spouse Fest at the start of the program, but could you talk about what it is, and also for listeners who may be a military spouse, how they could get involved?
Sure. Well, anyone that is interested in getting involved, I say go to our website, Mill Spouse Fest. It has all the events that we're going to have this year. It tells you a lot about past events, who's a part of it, what type of resources and organizations we have. And to just give people, and it's hard because once you've been to an event, it's really difficult to put into actual adjectives what it's like. It's absolutely, it's just, it changes everything. It's such a game changer. It's so engaging. It's so interactive. It's so much fun. And for me, having been in the space for so long, my very first one, I was, I wouldn't say pessimistic, but I was cautiously optimistic. And so I was the one standing in the back of the room. No one knew who I was. I was just standing by the door and wanting to hear what spouses were saying as they were leaving, when they don't know that you're listening because, you know, they're talking to their friends and they're trying to get out of the building, and listening to them talk about how it was the greatest 4 hours they've ever spent and how they felt, you know, invigorated and excited and so glad that they came. I realized at that point that we were onto something really, really magical. And normally, you know, you go to a spouse event and they either want to take a nap, a shower, or have a drink. You know, it's like, God, I'm so glad I'm out of that room. That's not true with us. It's absolutely, it brings people alive. And for me, being a part of something that has turned out to be one of the most influential live experiences for military spouses has really been such a privilege. And I consider it such an honor to be working with such a great group of military spouses that totally get that message.
And one thing I was really excited to learn about, given your just extensive background in this space, is what do you view as kind of the bigger challenges facing the military spouse and military family community today? And I was also kind of curious about if that's changed in the last 15 to 20 years that you've been doing this.
Oh, gosh, yes. It's changed dramatically. And here's a really good example. So when I first began the Military Spouse of the Year Award program, I quickly realized that if I wanted DoD leadership support, I didn't need to go to the service members. I needed to get to their spouses. And we wanted the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, you know, Chief of Staff of the Army, we wanted the commandant, the coach, we wanted all of them there, but we went through their spouses. And, you know, I, with the owners of the company, went up to DC and sat down with all of these, at the time, all women, all wives of the most senior leadership in all the services, and told them what we wanted to do with this award program, how we wanted it to grow, how we envisioned it changing and shaping the community. And they were skeptical. You know, really skeptical. Nothing like this had ever happened. There was never a national award program that recognized military spouses. Like, you should, military spouses are, you know, doing this willingly, and it's, you know, thankless work, and they're volunteering. This is who they are. And it's like, no, recognition. These are business owners. These are leaders in the space. These are influencers. These are people that are changing the world. We want to recognize those achievements and those accomplishments. And so now, once we open those lines and doors of communication, suddenly, now getting support from senior leadership is not as difficult as it used to be. I promise you, having sat in that hot seat for over 4.5 hours, that was a difficult sell. It was really hard. And now they're so much more willing to help and to see military spouses make strides and make progress and develop success stories in the world of business and entrepreneurship and careers and things that used to be words that were never, you know, discussed in dark places and certainly not in mixed company, but now are commonplace. And starting a business in 2001, certainly not something that was a national business and something that wound up literally changing the space. People thought I was insane, thought I was crazy. And for me, taking ownership of that was, you know, probably one of the best things that I've ever done. And just to give a little background on that and some of the things that have changed since then, is back then, I wasn't educated in publishing or journalism. My background is mechanical engineering, and I have a master's in thermodynamics and heat transfer. So for me, I'm a problem solver. And I've found that, you know, through developing networking and connecting with other spouses, I'm not alone there. We're all unique problem solvers. So when we find a problem or we see a disconnect, our natural instinct is to fix it or to supply whatever's needed to make it work. And so for me, when people say, how do you describe the military spouse community? Yes, they're loving, caring, backbones, volunteering, but they're also unique problem solvers, and they're used to fixing things that aren't necessarily something they've been trained to do. They figure it out as they go, sort of like building the plane on your way down. It's something that I think is inherent in most military spouses, just the way we experience the military and how we're literally growing every single day and changing. So for me, what's changed probably the most significantly, other than the fact that it's a little bit easier to get DoD support and to communicate with other military spouses in the space, is the fact that now it's not, people are starting to recognize that problem solving ability and capitalize on it for workforces in their companies, support through venture capital, you know, investment, things like that are no longer as difficult to obtain as they used to be.
And let's say that someone listening is on active duty right now. What advice do you have for them on how to support their spouse? Is there something they might not know about what their spouse needs from them, or a way that they can really make sure that they're supported?
Well, sure. I think that my advice to them would be to offer that unconditional support. I mean, for me, I was very lucky. I had a spouse who completely 100% believed in what I was doing. And so much so that when I brought the business plan to him after going to a SCORE counselor at the Small Business Association and him looking at me like I was a crazy person going, "Have you talked to your husband about this little lady?" I mean, in 2001, to hear that kind of talk, it was like, excuse me, sir. I don't need to run this by anybody, you know? And going home and showing my husband the business plan and him literally turning around and saying, "Well, how much do we need?" And it was my husband's aviation continuation pay bonus that funded the startup.
Wow.
So if you're going to have faith and invest in your spouse, do so completely without conditions and recognize that the resources are out there for your spouse, him, her, whatever, to make it happen and to help, to be available and to communicate and pitch in where you can. Your spouse has likely pitched in while you've been deployed and gone. And if they've got an idea and you believe in that idea, it's your turn to turn that around and pitch in as well.
That's great. And I'm wondering, you know, across the years at the conferences, you must mm-hmm. be privy to so many different conversations. And I'm wondering, like, are these spouses, are they usually talking about jobs or starting a company, or like what are some of the themes of the things that they're trying to figure out together?
I would say that's varied because at different conferences, you know, there's obviously focal issues at each one. If you're at a business conference, people are there to focus on business. If you're there for lifestyle conferences, you know, it just depends. But I think what is the most fascinating to me and endemic to the space is the diversity. People come from, I mean, a multitude of backgrounds, a multitude of experience levels. And yet the same threads are common throughout. Again, going back to that problem solving, creativity, just grand ideas, just sensational thinking. And whatever the conference, whatever the theme, those characteristics are always just sort of front and center, loud and clear.
And I'm just looking at your site right now, and we'll link to this for mm-hmm. in the show notes for listeners, but I'm, you know, really blown away. Upcoming events in Columbus, Georgia. You've got Honolulu, Hawaii. You've got Norfolk, Virginia. You guys are everywhere, and I think it's great. Does that mean that you're just constantly traveling around to all different parts of the world to meet with these different groups? Is that right?
I promise you, it's not nearly that glamorous. It sounds a lot better than it actually is, you know, but. For us, you got to remember, we're a team of military spouses. Things like picking up and going someplace else is not a big thing. Mm. You know, for us, that's not a detractor. It's not a reason not to do something, certainly. I mean, we're comfortable no matter where we land. Mm. So we find natural friendships and best friends at every installation that we go to. And that's something that I think is really extraordinary about our community. Is we're Navy spouses, Army spouses, Marine Corps spouses, Air Force, Coast Guard spouses. But we literally, our team of five, we can pick up and go anywhere, and we've got instant friends wherever we land.
That's great. And I'll link to this. You there's many articles for listeners that I'll link to in the mm-hmm. show notes. But you were did an article in We Are the Mighty, and you talked about five things that surprised me when my husband retired from the military. And you don't have to detail all of them, but I'm just kind of curious for people who are on active duty that are thinking of getting out and retiring. Like, what are some things that their spouse might be surprised by?
Well, for me, it was obviously the growing a beard, right? So, I love facial hair. That's my thing. You know, everyone's got their shtick. For me, my husband being able to grow a beard for the first time ever was so freaking exciting.
That's not what I expected. That's awesome.
I loved it. Yeah, I know. It's crazy. It's weird fetish. Like something, yeah, I don't know why. It's probably just because we spent, you know, 20 some odd years not being able to do it, that suddenly the fascination was developed. But even now, when he goes on leave or has, you know, holiday in his civilian job, he still grows a beard, which I totally love. And so there's a lot. I mean, some of those were really tongue in cheek, but some of them were really serious. And, you know, for me, one of the things that I encourage all my friends the same way, we planned for downtime. We wanted to have a chance to bond as a family. I have three boys. They're 18, 16, and 13 now. But when I started Military Spouse Magazine, my 18-year-old, who's about to go to college, wasn't even one yet. So being able to see all the different, you know, life seasons that we went through and getting to the end of active duty, we planned for that eventuality. We wanted several months off where we could, you know, reconnect, bond as a family, figure out what our next steps were as a civilian, not being forced to take that first job that's offered to you because now you're panicking. We wanted that downtime. And I would urge anyone who's out there listening, if you're thinking about getting out of the military, your service member is thinking about getting out of the military, plan for some downtime so that you can make informed, good decisions, the best decision possible for your family. But give yourself a chance to transition completely emotionally and mentally before you invest your family in the next step.
I love that. I mean, I think it's great. And sometimes the, you know, the guests I have on the show, they talk about doing that transition and their expectation is just to go straight into another job. And I love what you're saying about having that downtime. And I think just recognizing the shift that it is for most people in the military and giving them time to just settle.
Yep. It's massive. Mm-hmm. I didn't, my husband, he flew F-14s and F-18s. So obviously the legitimately the very coolest job in the Navy, right? But for him, when we had that downtime, some things that I discovered were that I didn't realize the stress that active duty had really taken on him until it wasn't a part of our daily life. Because while, yes, he was flying F-14s and F-18s, he still had a desk job. Like, just because the flying was done didn't mean your job was done, right? Still on the clock, constantly working. You know, even when you're on debt or detachment, gone constantly, you still were away from your family for months and months at a time. And so once we had that 6 months to really connect as a family and rebond and reestablish strong relationships between husband and wife and father and son, I realized that the reason he physically looked different was not just because he grew a beard. It was also because he wasn't as stressed out and the mental pressure of doing what he was doing wasn't there anymore. And you start to really find what matters. And that's why I'm saying that downtime is so vital. It's so important. However much of it you can manage, and we all have terminal leave built in there, use that time for the health and well-being of your family. And don't rush to take that next job or that the first thing that's available to you. Just slow down and use the time to really establish what's important so that, you know, 10 years from now, you're not fumbling around trying to figure out, you know, was that the right thing? Did I, what if a better job opens up in 2 months? And if I just waited, you don't want to go through the rest of your life with a what if. And always looking forward to retirement, you know, live in the now, but position yourself to be able to take that best job for not just you, but for your family. Where are you going to live? Where are the best schools? There are a lot of decisions that go into that. And I, every time I, you know, look where we are now, you know, our, you know, place near family, we're an hour away from everybody. My husband has a fantastic job with Delta. We love it. But it was because we were able to take that downtime and not rush and take the first job from American Airlines or Southwest. We took the best one that fit us. But if we had been, you know, rushing and forced to, like, financially have to take the first job because you haven't planned for this, that adds a whole lot more pressure. And you never really get that emotional and mental break between active duty and civilian life.
That's great.
And trust me, the light at the end of the tunnel is there. It's there. You're going to love it when you're on the other side. I promise.
And I love the thought of just kind of taking the steps to be financially prepared too, so you don't have to go straight into that job, that you have that breathing room to find what's right for you and your family.
And we plan for it. We plan for a full decade what we wanted to do, where our, how we chose our next assignments. You know, that they were planned. We had a blueprint for that. We did it deliberately. And it I can't tell you how that, hands down, is the absolute best decision we made when transitioning from active duty to civilian, for sure. Mm.
And another thing I wanted to ask about is, you know, you've really been featured extensively in media outlets, CNN, Fox, mm-hmm. Time Magazine, so many different ones. What's, mm-hmm. you know, right now, what's one of the biggest messages you're trying to convey to the public about the military spouse community?
Well, I don't have as, I guess, as prominent, you know, national broadcast media as I used to have. Primarily because obviously my husband retired. I took a year and a half, 2 years off to, you know, help make that transition into civilian life a little bit easier for my family. And so when I was, you know, recruited to come here to Mill Spouse Fest, you know, that role's dynamically, day to day, even completely different. But were somebody in media to ask me today, what are the issues that I want conveyed to them so that they can better understand what's happening in the space? I would say that if you really want to help the military, if you really have a passion, then I would encourage every lawmaker out there, every person that has a voice out there, to listen really closely. Because if you really feel for the military, its family members, the spouses, and the kids whose parents are in the military, you need to make every single solitary effort that you can with your congressional leaders to protect their pay in the event of a government shutdown. Now, recognizing that the Coast Guard is who's impacted now, it's still crap. I mean, this is absolute nonsense to me. There should be nobody serving this country in a uniform that goes without pay for any reason. It is totally preventable. It's like drunk driving, completely preventable. All you have to do is pass the legislation. So if you're out there and you have a voice, listen to me. I'm telling you, we've been through several shutdowns in the 20 years we were active duty. That's something that needs to change. These are people that are sacrificing every single day, going without. And that just, to me, is a morally repugnant position for this. In today's day and age, there's no reason for that. None at all.
I love that. And I'm also curious, you know, in addition to Mill Spouse Fest, what resources would you recommend to listeners and their family? Is there any books or podcasts or conferences or sites that you would recommend they check out?
Well, I think if you're already an influencer in the space and you have a great following or trying to build a following, I would encourage everyone to go to the Military Influencer Conference. I went this past fall in Orlando. Fantastic organization, absolutely the best place to be. Every mover and shaker in the space is there. It's a fantastic environment to network, to learn, to really integrate yourself as part of the community. If you're looking for resources and you're just an everyday spouse, you've got other things going on, you're not really interested in the world of business or creating a following, I would encourage every single military spouse and family out there to get involved in whatever's going on in your local area. Don't stay inside. Don't find your friends online. Get out there and show your face and get involved in whatever it is. It's your local community, whether it's a base facility, no matter where you are, get involved.
I love that. I mean, I imagine that's a big problem today. It is just so much easier to stay in and just kind of connect with people on Facebook and Instagram and not get that face-to-face interaction.
Right.
It's so vital.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that's so important to us, and I think why Mill Spouse Fest is so vibrant and growing so fast, is because I think that everyone else in here is also sort of sensing the shift to, you know, going back to more face-to-face, eyeball-to-eyeball communication, being in front of people, actually sharing moments, not sharing online, but sharing moments in person. It can't be replaced. It's not something that you can substitute for. You can't do that. You have to be out there, like, hugging each other, holding each other's hand, looking into each other's eyes, sharing things in real time. Because it's not a real moment unless it's real time.
And you had mentioned something earlier about, you know, the 2 year period after your family transitioned from the military and kind of the support mm-hmm. and stability you were providing. Do you have any advice for listeners who may be a spouse of how to approach that transition and how to try to provide that stability or things that you did to
yes.
make that easier?
Yes. To me, the best piece of advice that I was given was, if you're a service member and you're transitioning out, and you're a spouse and you're a service member transitioning out, don't both of you be looking for jobs at the same time. As much as you're capable and able to, when you're at your last duty assignment, do the best you can to get to that duty assignment that helps the spouse solidify and gain, you know, some sort of career experience, assuming everyone's going back to work. And obviously everyone's got their own personal life situation, but try to prepare yourself the best way possible. And you going through the resume process at the same time, your husband or spouse, wife going through the same resume process, it's really hard. It's very stressful for everybody to be looking for jobs at the same time. My advice, find some stability, get that stability ahead of time. And that way, when he or she is transitioning out, you're able to support better. Try and support each other at different times. It's sort of like everybody should be always giving 100%. And sometimes you're giving a little more. Sometimes someone else is giving a little bit more. But it is, I've watched friends go through it too, where everybody's picking up and moving and everybody's looking for new jobs all at the same time. Try to gain at least a little bit of stability with one of you having a job before the other.
I think that's such great advice, and it kind of goes along with that preparing financially for that transition. But mm-hmm. You're right, like it's so much turbulence when one person is going through that process to have both at the same time. It's just so much up in the air. And so trying to stake down something so there's not everything is up for grabs all at once. I imagine that's a massive help in just minimizing the overall chaos in the household.
Yeah, and if you're a business owner, you're starting up a business, my recommendation is not to do that the day terminal leave starts.
Yep.
If you're a service member, it's getting out of the service and looking for a job there. I promise you, there are a lot of things you're going to be dealing with that you aren't expecting. And everyone's different. So what are those things is going to be uniquely defined by who you are as a family. Everyone's got their own, you know, bag of rocks to carry around. There's going to be a lot that you're going to face when you transition out of the military. And you need to be prepared and brace yourself for that. And the best way to do that is we have some stability. So if we're going to start a business, get that off the ground, get it going, then he or she retires.
Yeah.
Don't like, terminal leave starts, I'm going to start a business. That is not good organizational skills. Try to plan as best you can. And again, everyone's different. But if all you can do is take 2 months off, great, 30 days, whatever is within your capability. But allow yourself that stress-free break, no expectations. No pressures, no like rash of filling out resumes, doing this. Give yourself a break from all that and try to plan ahead of time and get your ventures, your career, your life on solid ground, then transition out.
Mm. And, you know, I always like to leave the last question more open-ended, which is we've covered a lot of ground and really appreciate allowing us to reach into your expertise and get answers here. I'm just kind of curious, what have we not covered that you want to make sure that listeners know before we wrap up?
Oh, my gosh, that would take more than one question.
I had a strong feeling, yep.
It's really hard to shove 18 years into 30 minutes, you know. And I've been very blessed. I don't regret a single thing that I've ever done. I feel very fortunate to have been the person that got to do what I did for a living for so long. And for me, you know, I'm not a person that takes no. People told me early on, call it Military Wife Magazine or call it Homefront or Comrade or just wacko names, and I stuck to my guns. So were I to offer one last sage piece of advice, I would say, you know, commit to yourself. If you don't believe in you, no one else is gonna. And that's true for anything. It's not just entrepreneurship. It's believe in yourself. Have faith, confidence in you. And the rest will fall into place naturally. But I think it has to start with your own psyche, your own mental commitment to what you're doing. Have faith in you.
I love it. Well, I appreciate for nearly two decades the work that you've been doing to support the military community and the military spouse and family community. And I really appreciate your taking the time to speak with me and our audience today and to share some of that knowledge. And for listeners, I'll have links to many of Babette's articles as well as a link to the Mill Spouse Fest. That's millspousefest.com. Definitely a resource worth looking at. And when you go to their homepage, you'll see a spot right at the top to add your email to their newsletter, and it'll be a great way to stay in touch with the work that she and her team are doing.
Surface, surface, surface.
Well, thank you so much for listening and for supporting Beyond the Uniform. Beyond the Uniform is produced and edited by me, Justin Asiri. Our staff is entirely part-time. They do this on nights and weekends out of the goodness of their hearts to give back to the military community. Our director of outreach is Steve Bain, who relentlessly books guests, finds sponsors, puts together our newsletter, and thousands of other critical tasks every single week, all behind the scenes to keep Beyond the Uniform running smoothly. Our editor is Kathleen Dillon, who listens to and transcribes every single episode to help out those who don't have the time to listen to the show. It has a major impact on our site's SEO value, which helps people find us through Google. Our data analytics and insights advisor is Andrew Woolridge, who pours over the data each and every month to help us better understand how to best serve the Beyond the Uniform audience. Our digital production work is done by Michael Cummings, who puts together custom artwork for every episode. If you're enjoying Beyond the Uniform, the best way to help us out is by telling your friends and fellow service members and veterans. iTunes reviews, believe it or not, have a big impact on getting the word out as well. So if you have a chance to leave a positive review, that is greatly appreciated. If you know of a business that would like to get their product or service in front of a military audience, we are always on the lookout for sponsors, which helps us subsidize the cost of putting this show together. And if you haven't yet signed up for our newsletter, you can do so at beyondtheuniform.io. We send out a newsletter twice a month, and it is a treasure trove of helpful information for your civilian career and transition. And be sure to check out our coaching program, where you can be connected with a subsidized, professional, certified executive and career coach to help you in your career decision-making. Thank you for listening, and I'll be back next week with more stories from military veterans about their civilian career. Take care.